Why don't you go ahead and find your copy of the Bible and open up to the book of Philippians chapter 2. I would encourage you, if you didn't get a chance to bring one copy of your own today, there should be extras in the seat in front of you. Feel free to grab one of those and open it up. And I think it's on page 980. Trying to make things easy. Let's go straight to the passage we're going to be talking about, Philippians chapter 2. And in just a moment, I'm going to start reading in verse 19, and I'm going to read down through verse 30. But first, I want to introduce my talk today with this pearl of ancient wisdom. Monkey see. How's it end?
Monkey
see, monkey do. Now, this pearl of wisdom that I've heard from the time that I was my son Noah's age, about two, speaks to the fact that humans learn as much by seeing as they do by hearing. It's one thing, right, to tell somebody to do something, parents, right? It's another thing completely to show them how to do what it is that you're asking them to do, to model it for them. Something seems to just click in our minds when we see somebody do the things that we're trying to learn how to do. I coached YMCA basketball this year, and every now and then, I would introduce a new drill to the boys. I had nine-year-olds, I had about, let's see, was it nine-year-olds, an 11-year-old, and Joey. Okay, so it was quite a range there. And we would from time to time, learn new drills to work on new skills that we needed in our game. And I remember I would always talk it through with the boys first. And I would like you to guess right now how effective that method of communication was for these 9 to 12-year-old boys. Sketchy. It was a little bit successful, a little bit not. So what I would always do is I would talk it through, and then Joey and I, because we had done it before, we would model the drill for them up and down the court, show them how to do it, and then ask them to imitate what we had done. And I was amazed at what would happen to these little 9 to 12-year-old brains. All of a sudden, boom, it would click, and they'd be able to mimic and follow and actually be equipped to do the thing I was asking them to do. Monkey see, monkey do. It's just how learning happens. Now, this reality points to how important role models are to us as human beings. If you think about your life, you can probably think of a person or two, and if God has blessed you with more, that's great. But you probably have at least a person or two who you deeply respect, who you like, who you want to be like, at least in some respect. And I guarantee you that with those people that maybe you're even thinking of right this moment, you watch them. You watch them like hawks. You may not know them, but you're intrigued by them. You follow their Instagram accounts because you want to make sure you know what they're eating for breakfast and what they're talking about, what they're thinking about. You want to basically find a way to imitate what these people are doing, and we start to pattern our lives after these role models that we have. Now, sometimes that works out as a good thing, but the sad reality that we've all experienced probably is role models that don't actually do a great job of showing us how to live, actually letting us down in the process. I mean, I don't know how many times it's happened for you. I know it's happened many times for me. I've chosen to model my life after somebody only to find out that they really weren't worth modeling. Some maybe secret came to the surface, some skeleton in the closet comes out, and in fact, many of us can trace the ending of our innocence to a time when we were let down by somebody that we looked up to. When one of our role models crashes and burns, we come to this existential crisis where we wonder if we can trust anybody ever again. We wonder, is it worth it to even seek out role models anymore? And so what we tend to do is we tend to withdraw, we protect ourselves, and this is the worst part. We try to figure stuff out on our own without any help, without asking somebody, without taking that moment and being humbling ourselves and asking for help, because we hope that at least we can avoid the disappointment that comes when our role models let us down. But here's a problem with that approach to life, and it's an approach to life, sadly, that I have taken on many occasions. The problem with that is that how in the world am I supposed to know how to be successful? There's a reason why we watch other people who are doing things we want to know how to do. We don't know how to do things on our own. We don't know exactly what it is that we're supposed to be doing. But here's the thing. Trying to live the Christian life without following role models doesn't work. We absolutely need role models to not only tell us how to follow Jesus, because that's easy to do, but to show us how to follow Jesus. When we see somebody who follows Jesus faithfully, it puts us light years ahead in the journey of becoming that kind of a person ourselves. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes as I've been reading through the book of Philippians, I go, how in the world am I supposed to do that? God comes to me and he says, okay, I want you to shine like stars in the universe. You guys heard that last week from Dr. Gardosky, right? You need to be bright, shining examples of what God wants you to be in the middle of a crooked and a perverse generation. That was one of the phrases he talked about last week. How do you pull that off? Well, one of the ways that you pull that off is by watching people who are already doing it. By living with them and getting a sense of how they're going about it, we learn that if somebody else can do it, I can also do it. It can be done. That's the message we need to hear. When we read the Bible, we ought not go, wow, that's too hard. Nobody could ever do that. We ought to be surrounding ourselves with people who are already starting to do it so that we know and we can communicate confidently it can be done. And Paul understands this dynamic. Paul knows, as he's writing this letter to the book of Philippians, he realizes that role models are incredibly important. This is the part where we take a look at the book of Philippians and where I actually grab my Bible. And what I want you to do is look across the page to Philippians chapter 3. Would you do that with me? It's not our main passage, but there's a verse that stands out to me in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Philippians 3:17, it's on page 981, right at the very bottom right corner. Paul says this, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." So the question is, does Paul think that role models are important? Absolutely. He says, look, I want you to watch me. I want you to imitate me. I am setting myself out there as an example, a role model for you to follow. And then you might say, well, Paul's a super Christian. Of course, he's an apostle. Like, of course I want to try to be like that. But then he widens it out. Did you notice that in the second half of the verse? He says, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So first of all, there's Paul, the super apostle, right? The super Christian that nobody can live up to that standard, we say in our heads. And then there's all these people that are following Paul's example. And Paul says, hey, look, maybe you're too intimidated to try to imitate me. Imitate this guy. Imitate this normal person who is journeying along the same way. Do you notice the word where it says keep your eyes on? I love the Greek word of that is skopeo. It's where we get the word scope from. When you're hunting and you look through a scope, what do you want? You want to be able to look and see exactly where that deer is. You want to be able to look through and around obstacles and get right to the point, right? You are paying close attention. That's the same kind of focus that is in this phrase. Paul is saying, not just, it's a good idea if you have role models in your Christian walk. He's saying you need them. It's a command. It's not a good idea. This is what God expects from you. Because Paul knows that if they imitate, they're going to become like the person they imitate. Monkey see, monkey do. So back to our passage this morning, which I told you was Philippians 2, verse 19. 2:19, on the same exact page, page 981. We're going to take a look now at two of Paul's friends that he wants to set out there for us as role models of what it means to live the Christian life. Two guys. One's name is Timothy. The second guy's name is a little bit more of a mouthful, Epaphroditus. And these two men are going to illustrate what I'm calling seven characteristics of what you need to have in a role model. Because here's the question for those of us. So, okay, having a role model is important. Paul says in 3:17 that you're supposed to find good Christian role models. Okay, fine. How do I know who to imitate? How do I know which person to follow? Because there's a few people out there, right, in culture and even in church world that are probably not good examples to follow. So how do you know who you're supposed to follow and who you aren't supposed to follow. Paul's going to give us examples of two guys that illustrate characteristics that we need to look for. As we're looking at who should be my role models in life, they need to have these seven characteristics. So are you ready for this? Three from Timothy, four from this guy Epaphroditus. We're going to dive into the text and figure it out. Look at verses 19 through verse 24, where he talks about his friend Timothy. Verse 19 says this, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you." And look at verse 20. "For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." So if you're following along in your notes, which you're welcome to do or not do, depending on what you feel like you want to do this morning, here's the first characteristic I see of Timothy that ought to characterize the role models we look up to as followers of Jesus. First characteristic is this, number one, selfless concern for other people. Selfless concern for others. That ought to characterize anybody who is a Christian role model that I want to follow. If I look at somebody's life and they're not thinking about other people, they're putting themselves first, they're magnifying their own accomplishments, they're saying, hey, look at me, I'm the expert, follow me. If they're living like that, they are not the kind of role models you want to have. Timothy wasn't like that. Timothy was the kind of guy that was trustworthy. Paul could send him on a mission because he knew, you know what? Timothy's going to care about what's best for them. He's going to look at these Philippians and not say, what's best for me? He's going to look at the Philippians and say, I love you. I care about you. What is best for you? It reminds me of getting up early on a Sunday morning to come early to Sunday school. Some of you teachers and assistants who have to be here early. Sometimes it's not the best thing for you to wake up 45 minutes early. You know what I mean? You really could use that extra sleep. You could maybe before the service, you could skip all that serving stuff and you could just focus your heart on worship. You could come in here early. They're maybe practicing or there's music and it's a really nice environment. You could just come in here. You could pray. You could develop your own heart. But some of us in this room, God has entrusted a responsibility to look out for little lives that need to be shaped in God's word. And so you get up early. It's not best for you, but it's best for them. That's the perspective we need to have as role models in the Christian faith. When I'm trying to figure out who do I follow, look for the people who are sacrificing themselves for the good of other people. Those are the ones you want to follow. Why? Because that's the way Jesus lived his life, isn't it? They're following Jesus. They're doing what Jesus did. We learned in chapter 2 that Jesus made himself a servant for the sake of humanity. So of course, the people who are doing that now are following Jesus. And I'm telling you, if you want to be like Jesus, you need to follow after people who are selflessly concerned for others. Timothy set the bar. Paul said, I have nobody like him. I got nobody else like Timothy. He's my number one guy. Now, for a little background on Timothy, Timothy's dad did not believe in Jesus. He was an unbeliever. He was a Greek. His mom was a faithful Jewish Christian, and she introduced him to Paul on one of Paul's trips, and Timothy became sort of like Paul's right-hand man, and he actually calls him a little bit later his son in the faith. So not his physical son, but his spiritual son. And so Timothy would walk along with Paul and basically do whatever Paul needed him to do, and Paul saw in Timothy's heart a concern for others that was selfless. And he says, everybody else, did you see that in verse 21? Everybody else looks after their own interests. Isn't that just basic human nature? Look out for yourself. Take care of number one. I mean, all you got to do is come June, listen to every high school senior valedictorian speech. What is it all about? It's about taking care of yourself. It's about thanking, you know, living your dreams, being all this stuff. It's dream. It's all about themselves. And again, it's not a bad thing. It's just that's the normal way humans think. We think about ourselves, making sure we're okay. And what Scripture says is that's backwards. You got to learn to care about others. So a role model needs to be somebody who selflessly is concerned for others. But notice there's a little bit more about our guy Timothy here in verse 22. Verse 22 says this, "But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. The second characteristic of a role model that Timothy gives us as a role model is that word proven worth. Did you see that? One of my favorite Greek words, it's dokimos. Dokimos means he's been tested, and after going through a test, he has proven himself to be a person of character. You know what is not a good enough reason to follow somebody? Their reputation. Reputation and proven character are two different things. And not only are they two different things, they're way apart from one another on the spectrum of life. Because you can have the reputation of being a good Christian, but how do you respond to pressure? How do you respond when the testing comes? The people you want to follow are the people of proven worth. The people who have been through a few battles, and maybe they're nicked up a little bit and they got some scars and they're a little bit, you know, but they have been through the battle, they've made it, they survived. They have stayed faithful in the midst of suffering. Those are the people you want to find. And Timothy, he's like, look, you know his proven worth. In other words, you guys already know his history. You guys know his backstory. You know the trials and the tests he's gone through, and he passed the test, and because he passed the test, he's somebody you can follow. My second characteristic here is proven character. Proven character. The people we should be looking up to in the church for following after Jesus are people of proven character. Not just they come from a nice family, they go to that nice church, I hear they serve every now and then. No, no, no. People who you can look in their life and see they've been through the tests, they've been through the wars, they've been through the battles, and they stayed true. There was a price tag attached to following Jesus, and they paid the price, and they're still around. Those are the kind of role models, and that's the kind of person Timothy was. But let's move on to the third thing. It's right there in the same verse. I already read it for you. It says, you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. The third characteristic that Timothy models for us as a role model is this: faithful service. Faithful service. Paul's like, look, he's not my kid, okay? He's not. I didn't, you know, he doesn't owe me anything. I've just taken an interest in his life. I've helped him to grow spiritually. He's not my kid, but the faithfulness he has given to me, the service he has offered to me, is the kind of faithful service you would expect a son to give to his father. Timothy was committed. Timothy was the kind of guy, apparently, who would go around with Paul and say, Paul, what do you need, man? What do you need? You got a pretty heavy load. You're going to be preaching to a lot of people today. What can I do to make life easier for you? How can I do this? Do you want me to go call everybody? Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to get you something to eat? What do you want me to do? Timothy was a servant. He was faithful in that service. And Paul's like, look, he's served with me telling the good news about Jesus all over the place. So here's a question. As we look for who are we supposed to be looking up to, who are we supposed to be following, are they people who are faithfully serving God? Or not? Are they dependable? Can you count on them? Are they consistently serving? Or are they sort of like just sitting back and offering armchair quarterback suggestions about how to do things, but not actually in the trenches? The role models we need as followers of Jesus need to be people in the trenches. People of proven character, yes, but people who also epitomize faithful service. And notice what Paul says about him in the verse that come, 23 and 24. He says, I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly after I myself will come also. He's like, I'm going to send Timothy to you because he beautifully illustrates three characteristics of a good role model. He is selflessly concerned for others, he has proven character, and he's a faithful servant. Those three things. So I want you to watch Timothy. Scope him out, because this is the kind of person you want to be, because monkey see, monkey do. Now, there's another guy he wants to tell us about, starting in verse 25. It says this, follow along as I read. I've thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. So Timothy's going on a road trip, right? We already know this. Timothy's going to find out how the Philippians are doing. Apparently, he had been there before with Paul, so they know Timothy a little bit. Hey, he's a nice visiting guy from out of town. And Timothy's going, but he's sending somebody with Timothy, this dude Epaphroditus. Now, let's find out more about him. Verse 26. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Verse 27, indeed he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. Okay, I love that Paul's a little bit honest about this. He's like, look, part of the deal is that I'm worried, and if I send Epaphroditus, I know that I don't have to be worried anymore. Keep going. Verse 29, so receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. So let me just peel this back for just a couple more minutes about some characteristics in Epaphroditus' life that I think are incredible characteristics that should be in every Christian role model, okay? Here's the first one for Epaphroditus, it's actually fourth on our list, is this. It's in verse 25. Oh boy, let me skip ahead here. Yes, it's in verse 25. I'm going to give you what it is and try to explain it. It's eager collaboration. Eager collaboration. Look at verse 25 again. He says this, I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, and fellow soldier. Do you notice a word was repeated there at least twice? Fellow. Fellow worker, fellow soldier, and just for fun, he's also my brother. Now, that doesn't mean he's his physical brother, but again, in the family of God, they have a tight connection, they're family, okay? So this Epaphroditus guy, as far as we know, he and Paul have not been lifelong friends or anything. Epaphroditus had been sent to Paul with a gift from the people who he's writing this letter to, and he comes, drops off the gift. Well, guess what? Epaphroditus isn't just the Western Union boy. He's there to offer Paul any help he can give him while he's there. So he says, hey, Paul, I know you're here in prison because you're talking to people about Jesus. What can I do to help while I'm in town? I'm already here. I might as well serve alongside of you. And so Paul calls him a fellow soldier and a fellow servant or a fellow worker. That's who Epaphroditus was. He was somebody who was eager to work with other people. He was eager to collaborate. He sees Paul doing amazing things in Rome, and he's like, I want in on that. I want to be a part of that. Epaphroditus didn't just say, hey, Paul, you do your thing, and I'll go over here into my corner, and I'll do my thing. He's like, no, man, I want to be here. I want to work with you. I'm your brother. I want to work with you, and I want to fight with you in this spiritual battle, in this spiritual struggle. And I think that's really important for our role models. Our real role models ought to be people who are eager to work with other people. They're eager to collaborate. They're saying, you know what? I don't just want to be your soldier. Now you pay me money and I'll be the soldier for you. No. It's we're going to work together on this. We're going to fight this battle together. Let's be fellow soldiers. Let's not just pay and give everybody, you know, 10% of the people get all the work and the rest of us sit there. No. We need to all be sharing in this fellow worker thing. When we go all the way around this auditorium, we ought to be able to say, yes, here's how you're contributing to the work and here's how you're contributing to the work and we're doing this together. It's not Lone Ranger time. That was a cute TV show back in the day, but that's not the model for biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is fellow, and then fill in the blank. Fellow worker, fellow soldier, fellow prayer, fellow whatever. We're to do this together. And a role model you want to look up to is somebody who's not eager to go off in the corner and do their own thing and who cares about anybody else, but is a collaborator, works with people, says, how can we team up to be more effective? And I think Epaphroditus illustrates that beautifully. But there's a second thing, which is the fifth on our list, and it's at the end of verse 25. The end of verse 25 says, not only is he my brother, right? My fellow worker, my fellow soldier, but he's your messenger and your minister to my need. In other words, Paul realizes Epaphroditus had been given responsibility by the church in Philippi to bring him this gift. And so the characteristic I see here, number five, is trustworthiness. You know, you really can tell who you trust in your life by who you let watch your kids and who you give money to. That's how we know really who we trust. our most precious possessions. Who do we entrust those to? Those are the trustworthy people in our lives. They give Epaphroditus a gift of money to take to Paul. And they trusted that between point A and point B, he wasn't going to be cutting money for himself. He wasn't going to be trying to go first class so that he could get. He was taking all of that money to Paul as the gift. They trusted him with a significant responsibility. And he says, he is your minister or your messenger, and he's your minister to my need. You trusted him enough to send him with significant responsibility, and wow, did he come through. Epaphroditus apparently made such an impact on Paul that when Epaphroditus got sick, Paul was like, if he dies, this is going to devastate me. He was so valuable to Paul in the short amount of time that he had. He was so precious to Paul that Paul's like, man, I love this guy. He's already ministering and meeting my needs. What an incredible thing. And this is an awesome thing. Back in 2000, I think it was, you guys sent a team of people to Santiago, Chile to work with Jim and April Kane, and I was along for the ride. It's a long story. I'll explain some other time. But you know what, though? When they came, it was evident to me as an outsider at that point that they came not just to get a cool tourism tour of our neck of the woods. They came to serve. And I developed an opinion about you folks based on the people who you sent in your place. And I realized these people you sent, you trusted them as a congregation to represent you well. Either that or else Chris Brown pressured you. I don't know which it was. But it was probably a combination of the two. But either way, trustworthy. That's the kind of role models we need. People we can leave things in their care and know it's going to be taken care of. If people aren't following through, if they're talking a big game, which is very easy for us to do, if they're talking a big game but not following through in action, that's not the kind of role model you want. And Epaphroditus, seems to be a very trustworthy person. But notice two things really quick and we'll be done, I promise. Hang in there for a couple more minutes and you'll be on your way home. Verse 26 says this. So he said, I got to send Epaphroditus. He's my friend, he's my fellow soldier, and he's also your minister, your messenger. And then he says this, for he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Now, I want you to think about the way that's structured. So he was longing for them. Do you know what that speaks to? It's a very intense Bible word, a Greek word, that means deep desire and passion. He was longing for them. He was aching for them. He saw them in his sleep at night, and he couldn't wait to get back home because of the people he loved there. The characteristic I want to share with you is this, a love for people, a love for people. He loved these people. How do I know he loved these people? Because this is the deal. When he got the news that they heard he was sick, who was he upset about? He was concerned for them. He was the guy that got sick. And he was distressed for their sake. He's like, oh my goodness, they're going to be so worried about me. They're gonna be up and Pat Seeger's going to send it around on the prayer chain and they're going to all be worked up into a tizzy. And if I can't get back and tell them I'm okay, they're going to have anxiety. They're going to have worry. They're going to worry about me. He loved them so much that when he got sick, he felt bad for them. That's the kind of guy he was. He longed for them intensely. And so Paul's like, look, I want to keep him here because he's really helping me a lot, but he loves you so much I couldn't tell him that he couldn't go back. He sends him back. The role models that we look up to need to love people. They don't just need to have a reputation for getting the work done. They need to be people who say, you know what, I love the people that I'm reaching. I love the people I'm working with. They should know I care about them as well as the fact that I want to help them get the job done. Epaphroditus was the kind of guy who's like, you know what, I long for these people. I hear they're sick and worried about me, and that bothers me because he loved them deeply. He cared about them and cared about their needs. That's the kind of role model we need, somebody who has a deep love for people. But then I love this last one here, which is right at the end in verses 29 and 30. It says, so receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. The last characteristic I see in a biblical role model is a willingness to take risks. A willingness to take risks. Somehow Epaphroditus knew that going to Rome, there was a chance that something bad could happen to him. I mean, think about it. The guy who he's going to visit is in jail for talking about Jesus. So if you go to visit the guy who's in jail for talking about Jesus, guess what the guards are going to think about you too? That you're probably at least sympathetic to his cause, right? So you might end up in the jail cell right next to him. So he knows he's taking a risk just going to find Paul. But beyond that, it seems like something happened there that he put his life on the line for the sake of Paul and for the sake of the good news. And Paul's like, look, when he comes home, you throw him a hero's welcome because he's the kind of guy who is willing to take a risk to get something done. When God called him to obey and to go to Rome and visit me, he paid the price, he took the risk, he almost died in the process, and he has made it through. So honor guys like that. That's the kind of role model you want. Somebody who's willing to step out in faith and take a risk once in a while. We get so comfortable. We take things so easy sometimes. And I think what God is calling us to do is not to be crazy and reckless and move ahead without thinking and planning, but what he's saying is you sometimes have to come to a point where you realize your life is not as significant as the accomplishment of God's purpose for your life. And if that means that you have got to put your life on the line to accomplish and do God's purpose, then that's what you choose to do. Nobody intentionally puts themselves in the way of trouble, but if trouble comes looking for you in the process of following Jesus, you say, bring it on. And Epaphroditus was one of those kinds of guys. And Paul says, honor him. Look up to him. Scope him out. Keep your eyes on this guy because that's the kind of example, that's the kind of role model that you ought to follow. So as I wrap this up, I just have two questions and they're printed on your notes. Who are the people that you are looking up to? Who are you watching? Who are you scoping out? I'm telling you, you need to think about those people in the context of these characteristics and ask yourself, do the people I'm following in my life, do they epitomize these characteristics or not? And if not, maybe you need to find a new role model. If they are, though, would you do something for me? If the person who you're looking up to, who you follow, if they're following Jesus and they're showing evidence of these characteristics, would you go hug them today or something? Or send them an email or high five them at least or something? Like, be grateful. I'm being recorded right now. I want to give public praise and love to Ted Boykin, who's probably not watching, Ryan Edlund, Rick Imers, Nate Wingert, Nate Chambers, guys who have invested my life who I look up to and I follow. I praise the Lord because they evidence these characteristics and I want to be like them when I grow up. I really do. I know. But I do because I'm not grown yet. I'm a pastor, but I'm not grown. I'm growing and I want to follow these guys. And the last question is this, and this is where the whole thing gets turned on its head and then I'm going to send you home. Who's watching you? Who's looking up to you? Who's scoping you out? Let me ask you this question. Could they point to evidence in your life of these seven characteristics? See, it's not just about following others, right? It's about having the courage at some point to say, hey, follow me as I follow Jesus. Every single one of us in this room, I don't care if you've been a Christian for 5 minutes or 5 decades, has learned something that somebody else needs to know. And maybe they don't even know Jesus yet at all. But you need to be that role model. You need to be that person who walks ahead, even if you're only a half a step ahead of them. But you pull them alongside and you teach them and show them how to do the things that God is calling them to do. So this is a challenge. It's not just to look ahead of us at who we're watching. It's to ask ourselves, who are our children watching? Who are our spiritual children watching? Who are our brothers and sisters in our church watching? And do they see in me this characteristic that is on that I've tried to share with you from this passage? I think Paul would love it, love it, love it, if 2,000 plus years later, those of us in Horseheads, New York, would take a look and think differently about the role models we're following, hold them to a high standard, and then be people who can be role models for others. I think he'd be thrilled. Let's pray. God, this has been a busy morning. Man, we've done so much stuff today. And it's been such a privilege and an honor to do it together as a church family. I pray, Lord, blessing upon our two baptism candidates today. I pray blessing upon their spiritual journey. I pray that you would walk with them through the good times and through the bad times. I pray that you would show them your deep faithfulness through the hard times in their lives and then celebrate with them, Lord, through the good times. And I pray, Father, that in the time to come that we would welcome them into our church family with open arms and with love and with congratulations. And I pray, Lord, for us as we go from here and as we consider the part that role models play in our lives. I pray, Lord, that we would seek out role models that are like Timothy, that are like Epaphroditus. And even more importantly, that we would become role models like Timothy and like Epaphroditus. And I ask these things in the powerful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.